Welcome to the Game Table Podcast. My name is Jared. This week, we're helping Bezier celebrate their Year of the Card Game by taking a full week to look at several of the card games from their catalog. Today, we will be looking at Xylitar, designed by Christopher Ray and artwork created by Davi Komodo. I invite you to join us at the feature table as we take a look. Before we jump in, I do want to go ahead and note here and say a big thank you to Bezier Games for providing us with a review copy of this game, sent directly from their marketing guru, Jay Bernardo. Jay, thank you so much for the game. It has been a joy in our house and a joy to be able to talk about here. So if having a review copy is something that you need to take into account, please know that we did use that for our review purposes, but I can assure you that these opinions are all mine. Like I said in the intro, we are going through Bezier's Year of the Card Game. They had at least four new games that were all card games that came out this year, and I think they had six total card game releases when you include either a colossal version of Cat in the Box and also an expansion for Silver, which Ian covered yesterday. If you want to hear about Cat in the Box, we're not going to do that this week, but there is the opportunity to go back to our previous episode where we did review Cat in the Box. So if you're so inclined, you can go and check that out. We did review Cat in the Box on May 15th of this year. So if you check back in the library, you should be able to find that. But today is not about Cat in the Box or Silver or any of that other nonsense. Today is all about Xylitar. Xylitar is the 2-5 player color-coded trick-taking card game of trying to deduce what's in your own hand, how to play that hand well, and how to score the right number of tricks to win each round. With a blend of 80s vibes, a really cool legend about a polar bear, and the journey to master the schematics of the legendary Xylitar, which is, of course, a mix of a xylophone with synthesizer technology and inspiration from the all-famous Kitar, Xylitar brings a unique spin on the trick-taking genre. Let's take a look at how to play. In Xylitar, you have found the schematics and are working to rebuild the Xylitar. But the only way to truly master this instrument is through practice and dedication and the desire and the heart to be the true master of the Xylitar. If you don't have those things, just turn off the podcast because you can't master this. I'm just kidding. Here we go. A game of Xylitar is played over three rounds. Whoever has the most points at the end of the third round will be deemed the one who has found the balance necessary to master the Xylitar. At the beginning of each round, players are each dealt a hand of cards that together encompass the whole deck. Players will organize their hands of cards with the highest value card on the left and the lowest card value on the right. Equal values can be organized at the player's discretion. Once all cards are correctly organized, players place the high note card on top of the highest value card, close the hand up, and pass it to the player on their left. Then each player lays their hand out in front of them, placing the high note card on the left and placing each card to the right of the previous, creating a Xylitar. Remembering to keep the highest value on the left and working your way down to the right. But players do not get to look at their hand. So it's very important that you don't mix up the order when your hand is passed to you. On the back of each card is the card's color, which in this game, color acts as the card's suit. Additionally, each card will have a value range on the back of the card in addition to its color. Each red card has a value range of 0 to 10, oranges have 0 to 9, yellow 0 to 8, so on and so forth as you go through green, light blue, dark bluish purple, violet, and pink. The player to the left of the dealer is the start player. The start player, or lead as most trick-taking games refers to the start player, may play any one of their face-down cards except for their highest card. A player may never lead with their highest card. When the card is played, the player turns the card face up, revealing its value. Then play goes around the table clockwise. The next player must play the same color, or suit, if they are able to. If they don't have the same color, then they may play any card they wish. If they play a red card, that is considered a trump card and will become the high card for the trick. It is worth noting there are certain player counts where you pull out the red cards and orange becomes the trump card for that particular game, but for the most part, it is red, so just wanted to add that note there. Once all players have played one card, determine who won the trick by whoever played the highest value card. They take the stack of cards and place it to the side near their area. They have claimed that trick. That player then leads the next trick, and play will continue like so. At some point during the round, you're going to want to bid. Once during a round, after playing a card, a player may announce that they are going to bid. They select two cards that are face down and still in front of them, that are next to each other, and the player looks at both of them. One card is going to go face down in front of them, back to being a playable card, and one will be revealed as the player's chosen bid value. Bids are important, and I'll go over how they work in just a minute when I get to scoring a round. Play continues until everyone runs out of cards. When you have one card left, players are allowed to lead this as their card, even though it is technically their highest card. Then you score for the round. For each trick that you've won, you get 1 point. And if you got the same amount of tricks as your bid value, you get an additional 5 points. Play continues like this for two more rounds, ordering the cards, passing to your left, creating the Xylitar, and playing out the tricks. At the end of the third round, whoever has the most points wins. So, I just want you guys to know, and I realized this as I was thinking about this game and some other card games that I really enjoy, I am a sucker for a card game that has a good gimmick. I don't think I'm a big fan of gimmicks in a normal board game, but there's something about it in card games. I think I just, for the most part, don't take card games as seriously, and that allows me to kind of appreciate and have fun with the gimmick that's being introduced. I always think about, and I think I've mentioned this before, I always think about Hanabi and the reveal of saying, oh, and by the way, when you hold your hand, you don't get to see your cards, but you get to see everybody else's, and seeing that like light bulb moment. And Xylitar was no different for me. As soon as it was laid out in front of me and the rules were explained and it was like, okay, this is what's happening, I immediately was hooked and I wanted to know more. It just, I don't think it's like, I don't know. All these gimmicks, like they're really fun and they're cool, and they give you they're a cool way to add an interesting and unique flavor to something that we're really familiar with. And I think it's really easy in the trick-taking genre in general to get to get samey. I mean, it is kind of what it is. I mean, if you're a serious trick taker, like, you know the ins and outs of a trick taking game because they all very much follow the same basic structure for the most part. So to have gimmicks that come in and change that up a little bit, I really appreciate, because I like variety in my games. And again, for a game that doesn't take itself too seriously, it really fits with the vibe. Speaking of the vibe, the vibe on this game is awesome. I can't remember the last game that I bought where there's a backstory for a simple card game, and I don't know that the backstory is not even necessary. There's this polar bear, and I'm not going to tell you all the details because, of course, you're going to want to go buy this game and check it out for yourself, but there's this whole story about this bear was inspired to become a guitarist and to make his way in the world in music. And then this thing happened And he, you know, there, of course, there's tragedy that was struck and a legend was born. And before you know it, there's new people that are stumbling across the schematics for the Xylitar, which is where the players come in. But there's like, there's this whole backstory to it. This bear acts as the mascot on the front cover. And I just love the way that Bezier sold out for this bear. And they didn't have to do that. Like it you could have jumped right into, there's this Xylitar that you're trying to build and master and just jump right into the gameplay. But they added more. And I really appreciate that. Again, it kind of adds to the goofiness of the game. And I'm here for it for that because the vibe fits. Again, I don't know that I would love this if it was a heavier board game or something of that nature. But for a simpler card game that is trying to do something unique, I really think that adds an element that's really cool. And so I wanted to make sure and add that. Also, the art is great. I love what this bear is doing as he's rocking this Xylitar. And he's doing his own thing out in the mountains in the snow. Love that. I think the cards themselves, they're fine. I'm not a music person, but the cards themselves are basically colors and music notes and numbers. And that's pretty much it. So as far as the cards themselves go, it's pretty basic and that's okay. I actually kind of like that because you want to be able to focus on figuring out what's going on with your hand and other people's hands and not getting distracted by other things. So the minimalist aspect of that is really cool, is really helpful. But to add this like extravagantly fun art on the box cover is a nice touch. I do also like that there's almost this attempt to thematically add making each round in a game be like this jam session where you're trying to figure out how to master the Xylitar. I just think that's really cool. Like, obviously it is a trick-taking game, and yes, the theme is being pasted on, but I don't know. Like, I think adding that extra bit of fun they put the effort in to do that. And so they obviously saw the importance of that. So I saw online some people making the comment that the theme was just there and didn't have to be. And I just wanted to kind of push back against that a little bit and say, I don't know. Like, I think the point of this game is to have a light, fun experience, and the theme and the artwork and the whole vibe really go with that. So I definitely wanted to add that as one of the things that really stood out for me. Something else that I really appreciate about this game is the deductive aspect of the game. There's people in trick-taking games that play spades or bridge or whatever that know how to count cards, know how to read people, basically they know the deck so well that they have a pretty good understanding of where every card is or every card is likely to be at any given hand. I think that's incredible. I don't put enough stock into trick-taking games to want to do that. And my brain just doesn't work that way. But I appreciate that this game gives you the opportunity to kind of learn some of those aspects, but keeps the training wheels on. So there's this cool element of trying to figure out what's in your own hand first, which you have some knowledge for. You just saw a full hand full of numbers and colors in the hand that you passed to your left. So you have that going for you. And then you do also have a range. So you're not going to be able to figure it out perfectly for some of your cards because you still have to guess. But based on what you see around you, based on what you saw in that hand, based on what you watch get played, you can kind of figure out what is going on in your hand. And I really like that this game acts as that training wheels, a kind of game for learning how to count your cards, how to keep up with what's going on around the board, that sort of thing. But it also adds this element of intrigue as well, because you don't know what's in your hand. And when you don't know what's in your hand, you have an idea of what you want to do. But I don't know. My experience with normal trick-taking games is that seeing what's in my hand, I have a plan of action of what I'm going to do, what's going to act essentially as my pawns, and I can slough them and it doesn't matter. And I can just move on from that particular card. But these other ones act as my high rollers, the ones that are going to get me the tricks that I want. And you don't get to use that as easily in this game. And there's a little bit of creativity and figuring out how you're either going to make your bid or get extra tricks or whatever it may be. I also like the added element of deciding when to bid. Obviously, you don't want to bid too early because you don't really know enough about your hand to be able to make a good bid. But if you wait until it's too late, you could end up with two numbers that don't actually apply as good options for your bid. And there's also the added element of, do I want this to become my bid card when I really want to be able to play it? So deciding which two cards to look at is also important. And you have to find the right range, because if you have a really low hand, you have to find where your zeros and your ones are, because you're probably only getting 0-1 tricks. But if you stay within that bid, that helps you stay in the game. Even though your opponents might be scoring several tricks, you're going to end up scoring 5 or 6 points yourself, and you're still right in that game. The game plays quick. It's very easy to understand once you get going. I've experienced that it's been very family friendly. I have my oldest, Faith, plays this one. She's still learning the trick taking concept, but she's able to play this one just fine and really enjoys it. I don't think I'd go much lower than 8, but I definitely think it's something that 8 plus can handle and that they can enjoy it. And like I said, because it's playing so quickly, they often want to play again. I do have some downsides though. And this is, again, I've kind of like laid the groundwork with this a little bit earlier, but it kind of comes back to, how are you going to approach this game? It really is on the light end. And in my opinion, it's a game that really shouldn't be taken too seriously. It's a game where you just come to the table and you have some fun and some laughs and you kind of play around with it. But if you come to the table feeling like, this is a serious game and I take trick taking really seriously, that's cool. I'm not trying to down that at all. But I will say that this one might not be for you because there are times where you don't feel like you have much agency at times, and you kind of just have to give in to the chaos and hope that what you flip is not what you think it is, and you end up being surprised. I don't know. I get it. There's a lot of games like that I do take seriously, and that kind of thing frustrates me. But it just doesn't bother me in this game because I know what I'm getting into as I deal out the cards. So I would just warn players that if you're going to get into this, just know that it is light and that you're there to just kind of enjoy it for what it is. The other thing I will say along with that, this game is a table hog. It takes up so much room. I can't even like really critique the fact that they chose these skinny cards, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I get why they had to do it, because otherwise, if they had taken regular size cards, it would take a table and a half to play 3 players. Because you're stretching out those cards where they have to all be in a straight line, it takes up a lot of space. I do think they did a really good job trying to balance these weirdly skinny cards with the minimalist artwork so that you could still see everything clearly and make it easy. So I do appreciate that. But keep in mind that it takes up a good amount of space. Overall, I'm really happy with this game. I enjoy having it in my collection. I enjoy getting to play it with the family. I enjoy getting to introduce new people to this gimmicky thing. I don't think it's one that comes out all the time. I don't think it has enough in it to be a regular at the table. But for its creativity, its uniqueness, it definitely has a space to be like, hey, let me show you this thing. It won't take very long. And I think because you like X, Y, and Z, you'll get a laugh out of this one. But I do understand as well that it has its limitations. I don't think it's my favorite of the card games that we are reviewing, or definitely not overall in Bezier's card game library. But I do enjoy it, and it's not one that I'm interested in moving on from. If I were to grade it, I'd give it somewhere between a C+ and a B-, or I guess like a 6.5 or a 7. I'm happy with it. I think for me, the only thing that really brings it down is the staying power. Once I've played it enough, I'm kind of like, all right, let's move on to something else. Like, it was a fun little gimmick to play for 20 or 30 minutes, but now I'm ready to move on to something a little bit weightier or something with a little bit more to it. So it's cool. I like it a lot. I would definitely recommend it. But if you like trick-taking games, I think it's definitely worth a shot, unless trick-taking games are like your genre and you take it very seriously. And then I would probably say no go as my recommendation, just because it's like I said, it's light. But that's okay. But with all that said, thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow, we will have another card game from Bezier Games to look at. For today's game and for more information about the Game Table Podcast, please check out our show notes. Until next time, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.